In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they returned every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue.
Hi, welcome to episode 24 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
How you boys doing this evening?
I am doing good. Swell.
You're always doing swell, Jim. Is there ever a time you're not doing swell when we're talking?
No, it's just when I'm not with you guys.
That's depressing.
I'm feeling fine.
Ass.
I was just going to leave it at
You're
fine.
Feeling a fine ass?
No, I'm not feeling a fine ass. I'm just feeling fine.
Oh. F-I-N-E fine, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jim's Barbecue lawyers will be contacting you, Dylan. Don't worry.
So I'm going to be sued from within the company?
Correct.
Wow.
That's weird.
I didn't even know we had lawyers.
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. What about those guys?
Oh, how about the dude from, what show was it that I saw? Scorpion. What the fuck was the lawyer's name on Scorpion? It was really funny.
I don't know, but I would just get the guys from Making a Murderer defend me. I'd probably wind up going to jail anyway.
Yeah, you probably would. You probably wouldn't want to get them.
And then we could do there. And then there could be a Netflix show about this pod. It'd be called, like, I don't know, Burning a Podcast or something.
Oh, it's on Scorpion. We could get the lawyer from Scorpion. It's Hey, would you help me?
Nice.
Hey, would you help me?
Yeah.
It could do that, or the his cousin by the same first name. Hey, would you blow me?
There you go. Did you ever notice that, like lawyers in your area, like how you always remember like the jingles for like their phone numbers or whatnot? Does that happen where you guys are from, or is it just up?
No, here? I just remember we always used to see a commercial for one in before the movies in one area. Because I guess they bought an ad to put before the movies, like even before the trailers, and it was just always before the movies, chasing and chasing.
Yeah, well, it's like here too. Like they always have catchy stuff, like call 1-800, win one now,
yeah.
Or something like that. So of course
we have one guy, his is hurting a car. Call William Matar.
Nice. Oh, and then there's the Better Call Saul.
That's right.
And you know what reminds me. There's a couple places you can find us on the web.
Ah, yes, that's right. And if you want to contact our lawyers, you can go to facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can tweet our lawyers at JimsBBQPod on Twitter. You can also put up a picture for our lawyers to go over on Instagram and follow us at JimsBBQPod.
Yep. Also, if you'd like to sue Dylan, you can email our lawyers at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com, or you can go check out the guys right fresh from the grill at www.jimsbbqpod.com and listen to the episodes right there. Boom. Instantly.
Straight and fresh from the grill, baby.
Hell yeah.
And you can also get those same episodes right on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe.
Rate,
give us
review,
a, give us
and
a rate
subscribe.
Too, man. Rate us and give us a review. That'd be great, man.
If you think we suck, tell us.
Yes, because I know we suck. And in Dylan's case, he blows.
Oh.
So, Dylan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I figured since we're going to be talking about the Great White North in a little bit, I thought it would be only appropriate to be drinking a Canadian brew, and one that I brought home with me. I'm drinking Flying Monkeys, Acadian Groove, Canadian Maple Porter, and man, this beer fucking rocks. It's so good. It's so flavorful. You get chocolate, vanilla, the maple. Oh, it's awesome. I'm going to have a drink of it right now.
Live on the podcast, beer. Dylan is drinking his beer.
Yeah.
I love this beer. It's so delicious. It's just like, it's like dessert in liquid form.
Nice.
Which I guess technically could also be a shake, but whatever.
That's kind of how I feel about the cream soda. But tonight I've opted for Sprecher's, of course, root beer. Didn't do the typical cream soda, but that to me is dessert in a bottle in its own. Kind of has that honey sweet taste to it, you know, a little bit of creme brulee flavor because they fire brew it. Dylan's typing away.
Oh, like you never type on the show.
I always do. So that's my fine ass. My fine ass beverage for tonight.
I learned some things about Audacity and how to get rid of background noise. So
wasn't the DJ for Beastie Boys Mixmaster Mike?
I think so.
I think maybe that's what we need to dub you as, Mike.
Please don't.
Because nobody does it like Mixmaster does. Come on.
All right. Well, you know what? When I'm editing podcasts.
Well, all right.
He's like, I'm over it. And yes, that's his name.
Okay, cool.
When I'm editing these podcasts, I tend to need to drink. But when we're recording, I also need to drink because I got to deal with you fuckers.
I was just going to say, do we make you drink?
Yes, heavily. So tonight I'm drinking from Anderson Valley. This is a fucking mouthful, by the way. Their salted caramel bourbon barrel aged porter.
Wait, say that again.
Their salted caramel bourbon barrel aged porter.
Interesting.
The porter was aged 6 months in Wild Turkey bourbon barrels. Surprisingly, it only clocks in at 6%. And I got to tell you, I mean, you would expect something aged in bourbon barrels would be really, really boozy, but it isn't. It's just got like a nice, smooth caramel flavor. I'm digging it. It's not too bad. So I'm really enjoying that tonight. And to be honest with you, I'm actually almost done with it. So I might have to go grab something else while we...
Oh, yeah.
While we tickle your earbuds with our dulcet tones. But, boys, hearts are heavy this week, man.
Once again,
2016 just keeps hitting and it keeps hitting harder, man. We lost another great one. And I mean, you know, when I say a great one, perhaps the greatest of all time.
Muhammad Ali.
Wow, you got the cue, Dylan, even with your fucking typing.
All right, fine. I'll do the summary another time.
Yes. Oh, was that what we're doing?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, Muhammad Ali, boys. We kind of got the word Saturday night, I believe, or Saturday morning, wasn't it?
Right.
That he had passed away. I know the news wasn't too great Friday night while we were recording, but
when we were after that, I was hanging out, and one of our friends mentioned that he had been hospitalized.
Yeah, and it just didn't sound very good. But man, what a talent! I mean, in the ring. Out of the ring. I mean, he was a personality. He was just an amazing, amazing person.
Yep.
An icon.
An icon. That's a perfect word for him. I mean, he was one of those guys that, I mean, he transcended the sport that he was involved in. I mean, so many people were influenced by him. One of my all-time favorites was definitely... influenced by him, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see it in his promos that he did, you know, in professional wrestling, that he was greatly influenced by Muhammad Ali. Because I mean, the guy had the gift of gab, you know, the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, you know, those sayings, you know, like that. I mean, it's just amazing, man. It's unfortunate, you know, his health. Definitely took a downturn as his boxing career ended, and you know there's even some enduring moments that you see from like later on in his life, like when he lit the cauldron at the 96 Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Things like that just, you know, forever will be embedded in our minds. Just, you know, it's just so much charisma. I don't know what else to say about the dude.
He's one of those guys that, like you said, transcended the sport. I mean, I've never been a big boxing fan, but, you know, everybody knows who he is. You know, and like I don't know how much past, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, it's just, I don't know, every time I think of Muhammad Ali or he comes up, the one song, Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith.
Yeah.
One line in it, he goes, "But Ali, you told me I'm the greatest." Just every time his name ever came up or was in the news or something, that Will Smith line from that song always popped in my head.
And then Will Smith played him.
Right.
In the movie, in the biopic. So, I mean, and did a pretty good job with it. I mean, the facial mannerisms and everything, you know?
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah.
Dude, Muhammad Ali fought Superman.
Yeah.
True. Is that, like, iconic cover?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yet another reason why Superman sucks. Mere mortal can just kick his ass.
I
don't even
think they wound up fighting. I just that cover is just fucking awesome.
It is good.
So R.I.P. to the legend that is Muhammad Ali.
Indeed. So you guys recall in the previous episode, I told you a little bit of an adventure that I had in Kentucky with my infamous belt that I purchased.
Yes.
That belt's going to live on in infamy.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. I think I'll actually go on tour just with the belt and just take it around and show it to people. I won't even be wearing it. I'll carry it over my shoulder. I mean, why the hell not? I'll have my other belt on, you know? But there was something else that occurred that was kind of interesting while I was driving to my destination in Kentucky. And Jim was kind of involved in this, in that I took a picture of a sign as I was headed down the highway of a state park that has always kind of fascinated me. And it's got a name that, you know, makes the adolescent, or Dylan in this case, giggle a little bit.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Well, come on. It's the easy go-to, you know? So the name of the park, it's in Kentucky. It's just south of Florence, Kentucky, which is up near the Ohio border, like near Cincinnati. It's called Big Bone Lick State Park. Okay, apparently it makes Jim laugh, like the 14-year-old inside him.
Big and, Bone Lick.
Yes. So I posted this picture in a group chat that we have with our good friends and previous podcast guests, my brother Sean and our good friend Teresa. And Teresa took it as exactly how I intended it. In the adolescent, it's called Big Bone Lick. And then Jim goes into it with her and has, what, an hour and change dialogue about the...
Well, you, like, dug up the history of it.
Yeah, I did.
About the history of it and where it came from and everything. It was just hilarious because, like, I stopped to get gas and I see Jim is just going nuts on Teresa, like, chatting with her about it.
He's going nuts on Teresa about the big bone?
Yes, wow. Exactly.
I just thought it was funny because especially her... Because you know how animated she can get, and she took it in stride, which was what I was hoping for, and gave it back.
But you know
to
what
me.
It is? She just doesn't stop, and much to our amusement, it's like, you know, you could have stopped with the comments like 5 minutes ago, but it's like, no, you know, I think I'll just keep going, and it was well worth it.
Well, that was the comical thing though, is like I stopped for gas, and then I'm like, I'm about 45 minutes or so north of Lexington, Kentucky, when I stopped for gas.
And you're like, and, you're still going.
And I drive like an hour. I stop at this liquor store to kind of like make like a beer purchase stop. Mm-hmm. And I look, and you guys are still fucking chatting about the freaking picture.
Yeah.
Like an hour later.
What I think is funny is, and I completely guessed on it, but the part I thought was funny how she was like, oh, come on. Like, really? When they came up with that name, nobody thought to say that's a bad name or we shouldn't do that. And I immediately, without even looking up the history, even though I did like shortly after that, was like, I'm sure it's an Indian name and there's history involved. And, you know, why would you do that? And of course, you know, that kicked it right off with me and her. And like Dylan said, she kept going and I kept going. It was quite comical.
It was. And I was more amused that it went on for as long as it did.
No, you were feeding the fire that was Teresa.
Oh, yeah.
I posted a picture.
No, not you, Jim. Oh. It's just hilarious that you just wouldn't get off the subject, you know? It was
get
like,
off the subject?
Whoa.
I didn't even intend to make that joke. I just like your reaction.
She wouldn't get off the big bone.
Get off the subject. Whoa.
Yeah, it just, I was like, you know what? I'm not conceding this one. I'm going to see how far she takes it.
Which is funny.
You took it pretty far with the bone.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think our topics just get bigger after that, though.
Ultimately, what was the history of it? It's like named after woolly mammoth.
Yeah, the woolly mammoths used to go there and scratch their tusks, and the reason it's called Big Bone Lick is because it was the salt deposits, and the animals would go there and lick the salt.
So it's just a reference to like big boned animals going there and licking shit up.
All right, which is again is still an Indian background, but yeah, woolly mammoths, the big tusks, bone, they go lick the salt.
There
big
you go.
Bone lick.
It just sounds funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's like one of my favorite names similar to that is, you know, we used to go to Ocean City a lot when I was growing up, Ocean City, Maryland.
And when you were
Groshen up. When I was growing up, and there's a bay you cross. And as you cross the bay, it tells you it's Big Assawoman Bay and Little Assawoman Bay. And those are the names of them, and they were, you know, old Indian names, you know, that they had for the bay or whatever, and those always just kind of cracked me up.
Well, Jim, you know, you did one thing that in the 17 years that I have driven past that road sign, you did the one thing that I have never done. Which... You actually looked up, like, the information about that state park. I just drive past it and giggle every time.
Well, it piqued my interest, and then especially like when I just completely made up that I'm sure it had an Indian name and all that stuff, and you know, was going on, and you know, me and Teresa were going back. I'm like, I really need to look it up to see what it is, you know, because at that point I started to run out of material, and boy, did the internet give me a wealth of information.
Indeed,
internet provided something else recently.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of like big things and the internet, so this could be any number of things, boys. There's a big fucking alligator living in Florida right now. And for those of you out there...
On a golf course, isn't it?
What?
On a golf course, isn't it?
It's either living like... Yeah, it's either like on a golf course or like on proximity to a golf course or something. But I mean, this thing is like 15, 16 feet long. And if, you know, for those of you out in podcast world, like just look up like, you know, alligator Florida and this... You'll find the video of it. This thing is... gargantuan. It's like a fucking dinosaur. I showed it the video to Jim over the weekend, and even Jim was just like, holy shit,
that thing's fucking huge. It's followed by a that's what she said.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
know what you're saying.
But it's funny that, you know, this big gator story got brought up, because not only did this big fucker like crawl out of the woodwork, somehow Nile crocodiles, which are from Africa, are now in the Everglades, which is not good because they don't live there. And then a bunch of people, I saw this in the news today, some people saw something large floating in the water with something next to it. It turned out there's an alligator floating in the water with a human body in its mouth.
Ugh.
Like, you know, somebody had died and the thing was eaten, and then eventually it went away and they, like, pulled the body out and... had been dead for a day. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to look that up and see if there's been any updates with that real quick.
But it's probably because he was in the water, not the water.
Oh, probably. This one was only 9 feet long.
Yeah, dude, if you look at that one, though, that's 15, 16 feet long, that fucker is like, looked like it was a CGI graphic or a graphic monster from a movie.
It's gargantuan. I mean, did you ever see the movie Alligator? That's what it reminds me of.
I don't believe I have.
It's just like old B movie, right? From the 80s. So it's not that old, but I can't find any updates on it.
You were a wee lad then.
I wasn't born in the 80s. I wasn't even a thought. But yeah, so there's Monsters Among Us, people.
Not River just monsters.
And not just in Big Bone.
Big Lick. Big Bone Lick.
Yes.
Not just Big Boned.
Mike, so moving on, I don't remember what the context of this next subject is.
Okay, so I figured you might, because it goes back about a week and a half or so. And I get into this time where like there's not a whole lot on TV, so I start watching like things on Netflix. And I got sucked into watching a documentary about, you talked about not being a boxing fan earlier, Jim,
mm-hmm.
and I got sucked into a documentary about Evander Holyfield.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it was good. It was like one of those ESPN documentaries that they've done, like the 30 for 30 or E60, one of those type of deals. Right? Like
King's Ransom. Okay.
So it was about Evander Holyfield and him in his quest to fight Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And they go through basically like his entire career, and they kind of parallel Tyson's career and Holyfield's career, and then them finally converging. But that's not really the part that captured my imagination in this documentary. What did was a fight that Holyfield had with this guy named Riddick Bowe.
I remember him.
And the fight took place in Las Vegas. And they actually fought a couple of times. But the one that was most infamous was in November of 93. They fought at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. And this guy in the middle of the bout crashed into the side of the ring, or like landed on the ring apron. He flew in from, this was like an open air arena that they had. He flew in via like a paraglider that had like a back propeller. So I was like, wow, that's kind of neat. And they gave the guy's name. And then I'm like, man, I got to look this up. So while I'm watching the rest of the documentary, I get sucked into the world of Wikipedia.
Oh, you went down the rabbit hole.
I totally did. So I looked up the fight, and it gave me the information about the dude's name. And I start finding out about him and his fascinating life. Like I said, he did the stunt at the Holyfield Riddick Bowe fight. And then later on, like a couple months later, he flies over a NFL playoff game between the Broncos and the Raiders, and then was arrested for interfering with the event. Like, he flew right over the stadium. And then later that same month, he's in England, and he skydove over the middle of a soccer match between Arsenal and this team called Bolton.
Okay.
He gets deported from England. That's towards the end of January. He returns almost immediately back to England, and he paraglides over the mall and lands on top of Buckingham Palace.
This guy really likes paragliding.
Well, yeah. So he gets fined £200. And was again deported and ultimately banned from coming back to the UK for life.
Wow.
Okay. So he later on in his life, he moves to Alaska. He lived in a hut. He continued to fly ultralight aircrafts and paragliders, giving people lessons on how to do those. He worked for a computer company. He opened his own computer business. And then in 2001, he was diagnosed with a coronary artery disease and underwent a double bypass surgery. There were complications with it. He developed health issues. The heart issues continued to give him issues. He, at that point, wasn't able to continue flying or paragliding or hiking because of how debilitating the heart issues were. And he ultimately closed the computer business. And then in 2002, in September of 2002, he was reported missing after driving into the wilderness. His car was found in a parking lot in a trail, and a search was launched but was suspended in the middle of October. In March of 2003, a group of hunters that were deep into the woods found his body. He had hung himself from a tree, like, deep into the woods, way away from where his car was parked.
Okay.
Wait, why is that funny?
No, it was a half sneeze.
Oh, okay.
Like, wow, I went to go. Wow, I mean, that's I a...
No, it's like I had to sneeze and it went to go come out and it stopped and like...
Jim's got a weird sense of humor.
Yeah. At the time of his death, his girlfriend was pregnant with their first child, and she gave birth to their son just before his body was discovered.
Wow.
What's weird is, so he was found in 2003, right? September of 2003, ESPN went searching for him to do a 10-year retrospective about him crashing into the ring, and then found out that he had died, 6 or 8 months prior or whatever the hell it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to fuck up, ESPN.
Well, I mean, it would be like if you did something like that, Dylan, but you weren't really in the public eye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, how would they know? You know, I mean, unless you stayed in the public eye.
You'd think they would have looked the guy up first.
Well, yeah, they were looking him up to do an interview with him and discover that he had died.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So it was kind of just fascinating to me that, I mean, this guy went from that, and then in the matter of 10 years, he did all these other stunts that I don't remember those ones, but I certainly remember the one in the boxing ring for some reason. And then, you know, and then the one landing on Buckingham Palace, which I was like, wow, holy shit. And then, that's almost like somebody doing that and landing on top of the White House.
Yeah.
And then, you know, his death, which was under weird and mysterious circumstances.
So wait, when did he disappear again?
He disappeared in September of 2002.
And they didn't find him
until March of 2003.
Oh man, so his body was just out there
a good 6 months. Granted, in Alaska, so it probably kept a little bit. Well,
yeah, but there was probably just at that point, it was probably just a corpse hanging from a tree.
Right.
Oh man, that's kind of just eerie when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine just walking along and all of a sudden it's just what the fuck is that? And it's just this barely remaining body.
Yeah. And maybe, just, you know, bones with clothes on them.
And they're holy shit, maybe it's the guy.
Yeah, that's got to stick with you, you know?
It's weird.
He may have had ID or whatever on him, though, so there may have not been any kind of question of who it was.
What if he's still alive and just put ID on some other poor schmo?
Oh.
Ah, the rabbit hole grows deeper.
Yep, and then he's on an island with Elvis, Jerry Garcia, Tupac, and Biggie.
Oh, that could be. And Andy Kaufman.
We can throw Andy out there.
I thought Andy was officially alive.
Who the fuck knows?
I thought I had heard somewhere, read somewhere, that he was officially alive somewhere, but whatever, I don't know. It's probably just...
You should put on your official Jim's BBQ podcast investigative reporter hat and find out, Dylan.
I thought you were going to say the t-shirt.
Oh.
I could do that, too.
Wait, do we have t-shirts?
Yeah, we have t-shirts. Soon to be available on www.jimsbbqpod.com.
And that's actually kind of a good segue, because we got those t-shirts over the weekend while we were in Brantford.
We did.
Yeah. And I know we did an episode live when we were there, but we could talk about some other stuff, you know, that didn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great time.
Phenomenal time.
You know, it was kind of funny. I saw somebody post today about how they're recovering from the weekend, and you know, I got my aches and pains, you know, but they were actually talking about that they got sunburned. I was like, how in the hell did they get sunburned on the weekend?
I got sunburned.
Really? Did a little bit.
Yeah, I got sunburned on my arms, these tiny little patches that I missed my covering up.
Huh. So it's it didn't really seem that sunny out.
If Dave's mom was there, she would have made sure they were covered up for you.
Mm. But from what I understand, I mean, you know, I thought the weather was great, but, I mean, there were still opportunities to, go out to eat and go to various restaurants. And some of them had some unique characteristics about them.
God.
Or maybe some unique things occurred. So I don't know anything about this first one, but evidently something occurred or was wrong or something at a Tim Hortons.
Oh, Jesus.
And I don't know how that could possibly...
You saw Jesus?
No.
You saw Jesus at the Tim Hortons?
No, this
was... Was he in a cruller?
But he had his sandals on, so it was cool. That's how I identified him. No, I just... I was listen, I was all involved in you prepping for the story, and I'm where is he going with this? And then you cue it up for Tim Hortons, and I'm whoa, this is my story.
Oh.
I don't even know. It's not a long story, but it's so fucked up. So, in Tim Hortons for just got to
Did you find the paraglider guy?
Yeah, it was him. That's how I knew he put the idea on somebody else. So we go into Tim Hortons, and we had time before our 11:45 game, so we're like, let's just fucking sit down and eat and whatever. So we did, and I'm like, I'm going to go piss real quick because I don't want to get there and then have to piss or whatever. So I go into the bathroom. This guy, like, comes in, and, like, it was there. Like, me and him kind of came in, and he, like, kind of stood by the sink, and I had to go shimmy around him a little bit. So he's there, like, goes in by the door of the bathroom or the stall, and then comes back over, stands by the sink. And I'm like, what the fuck is this dude doing? Like, hanging out in the bathroom, just inhaling the scent or something. I don't know. So, but he has like a little bag. I don't know if he's got like a donut or a croissant or something, bagel, whatever in there. And he's just going on back and forth, just like in the bathroom, sets his stuff down on the sink, sets it down on top of the dryer. Then he sets it down on top of, it was a huge, like probably 3 foot something pylon cone, you know, caution wet floor thing. Oh. But the whole time the guy's just all over the place, and he's like not using a urinal or going in the bathroom. I don't know if he like needed to drop a deuce and has to be private, like waiting for me to leave or whatever. Who knows? Dylan does that, but so
I don't eat while I shit though.
Nice. So I wash my hands like, you know, you should with proper hygiene. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, there was a hand dryer there, and there was no paper towels, which I'm a paper towel guy. I like to dry my hands, but you know, if it's got the hand dryers, whatever, so be it. I just usually shake my hands real quick, you know, to flick off any water or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy like stops and looks at me, and he goes, "Did you really?" And I'm like,
"What?"
And I'm like, "Did I really what?" And he goes, "Did you get shit all over, or I don't know if he said shit or stuff or whatever." He's like, "Did you get shit all over my stuff?" And he grabs his like bagel and like whatever else he had sitting on top of it, like a creamer or two or whatever, and just storms out of the bathroom. And I'm like, that was fucking weird, you know. I'm like looking for cameras and like Alan Fun or something.
Wow,
that's an old reference. Dylan probably doesn't
get it. That is a totally old reference, but
is that like things you can't do, you shouldn't do on TV?
No, he was the, they used to record, like, screwed up situations like that, and then, you know, you'd walk out of the bathroom, and they'd be like, ah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
So, I'm like.
Was it Chris Seymour?
No, but I was expecting
it. Yeah, was it Chris Seymour pissing on a Timmy's?
So, I like, you know, and obviously, like, I dried my hands, because I needed to. And I wasn't in there very long, and I'm like, I wonder what this dude's doing. I'm like picturing him like going up to the counter, bitching, going, "This guy ruined my meal. He shook his hand and got water on it." No, he's gone.
That's what I was. He's gone, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, and it wasn't very much longer from when I dried my hands to like go out because I was in a hurry. I wanted to see what he was doing, and dude's just gone, like non-existent. I even like went over to the other side of the counter, thought maybe he went to the other side, or was on the other side of like the restaurant, or. Whatever.
Did Kathy see him, or did anyone else see him?
Nobody was paying attention.
I'm sure he was there. He probably just like got in his car, and he was just like, "Fucking asshole, got water all over my shit."
But I mean, of all the things you can bitch about, I mean, it's not like I stuck my hand in the urinal and then shook that. You know?
Yeah.
And I know there's germaphobes out there that like, you know, some people, you know, if there is paper in the bathroom, they'll use it to pull the door open and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not that. Whatever, I just throw it away and I walk out. But I don't know, maybe this dude was a germaphobe or something, but it was really odd. And the guy seemed normal, like it wasn't like he was like pacing around rubbing his hands talking to himself rocking like Rain Man or anything. It was just fucked up,
you know. Actually, that kind of reminds me of some characters that I encountered shortly after I arrived at the hotel on Thursday. So we get to the, you know, we're at the hotel and we're all hanging out, whatever. And I wanted to go see somebody upstairs. So instead of doing the normal thing, which was go into the open room and just go out the door and then go up the stairs, I'm like, well, I'm going to go just go around the side of the building and go up the staircase. And I walk around the corner and there's this dude sitting there. There's two couples. And there's one, and I'm not saying couple like they're together. I'm saying like there's just two couples of people. So one of them is this dude, this older dude, and this younger girl who actually I had seen when I was exiting the hotel earlier, and she had purple hair.
You had seen him?
Seen her. And she had purple hair, and she was like, hey, nice hair. And
why would she think your hair was nice if she had purple hair, Dylan?
I think she was being sarcastic.
Hmm. Was it because you had purple hair?
Yes, it is because I have purple hair currently.
Okay.
So I said, oh, hey, thing. So I seen him again, you know, no acknowledgement this time. And the dude's sitting there in a wheelchair. I think he might have been missing a leg. And he's just ripping on a blunt. Like, it stinks like weed. And he's got this pit bull with him. Now, I've encountered many a pit bull. They're generally speaking, they're nice dogs, depending on how you raise them. So I walk past him. The pit bull's like, watching me the whole time I walk around them. And I stop at the door, and I kind of like, I must have like put my foot back or something, and I'm trying to put the chip or the key card into the thing so I can get inside. And I must have put my foot back, and I look around. This dog looks and just goes, it just growls at me, and like and I was like, "Holy shit, that's kind of fucked up." Like that dog is very, very close to me. Then all of a sudden, I hear on the other side of me, to my right, I hear, "Oh, I know he's fucking up. You know he's always fucking up. Everything you do is fucking. You're doing it. Oh no, why are you yelling?" And there's these two drunk Canadian guys just like sitting on the stoop. Having an argument. What about I couldn't exactly figure out? Although one of them accused the other one of wasting his life away and doing nothing, which I found a little bit strange considering they're sitting outside of a hotel in Brantford, Ontario, drunk off their asses, having an argument with one another at like, I don't know, like 4 PM or 6 o'clock in the evening. Was that around the time we were hanging out, Jim?
Yeah, it was right around there.
And I just looked over because I heard it kind of grabbed my attention. I wasn't going to say anything. Well, this one dude saw me, like, look over a second. He just looks and goes, did I fucking ask you something? And I was just like, you know what, fuck this, I'm leaving. And I just, like, and I couldn't get my card to work, so I just walked away and I said, forget it. I'm not going to even try to go in that door anymore. It was the most hostile place I've ever encountered people in Canada ever.
They're usually sorry about that.
Yeah,
they had to give you some warm fuzzy feelings about staying at that hotel.
I was like, maybe this was a bad idea, and then ultimately everything was fine. So
yeah,
that was not the but like there was so much. Did you guys see how many dogs were there that weekend?
Yeah, there was a dog show.
That's what I said to somebody. I said, is there a dog show? And someone's like, no, they just allow dogs here. I think Dave said that, so that explains why it's, you know.
Do you remember being outside and there was the pointer? There were two cars that had pointer that stickers had the, out that, there.
They were like the metallic bumper stickers.
Yeah, but you started going, hey, this is the pose for the weekend. It's a pointer.
And you it never happened.
No, but it was quite humorous while you were doing it.
We put it on Dave's car.
Yeah, you know what else we didn't have that we typically walk away with, too, is a song of the weekend, and that just didn't happen either.
Yeah, no, there was no song.
This weekend, it was crazy busy, like, just in and out. It flew by so fast, but so enjoyable.
Were you there when we brought the giant dog into Beer Club?
No.
Oh, my God!
Dude.
That dog was fucking huge!
So
where'd it come from?
Okay, so
I don't even know.
So we're sitting out, you know, we're sitting all in Beer Club, and all of a sudden we hear, like, at the window we hear, and I'm sitting, like, our friend Paul are sitting, like, right by the sliding door, and I'm expecting it to be anybody. And we slide the curtain back. It's our friend Mike McCutcheon, and he's like, oh, this is a fucking dog. We're like, what? And we open up the thing, and he goes, did you see the size of this fucking dog out here? So I poke my head out, and it's like fucking Cujo. It wasn't Cujo though. It was
It was like a Shetland pony.
Or yeah, dude, it was like a mastiff, dude. This thing was gargantuan, and I'm looking out. I'm like, holy shit! And Mike just goes, hey, can you bring the dog over here so we can see it? And like, sure. And this thing comes in, and it's like, I mean, I think it was longer than me. It was huge.
That's what she said.
Oh. But, like, it comes in, and I just hear Mike go, oh, my God!
That thing was fucking huge.
It was mad. And the nicest dog, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it was just, like, I don't even know how, like, high up. I mean, it was probably a good 3-3.5 feet tall, and it rested its head, like, on my knee, and just slobbed the fucking thing. But yeah, that thing was nuts.
I had almost forgotten about that. That's funny.
I took a picture of it too, but like the flash went off and it was a little dark, and the dog was very, very scary when it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very nice dog.
Yeah. The Timmy Ho's bathroom wasn't the only bathroom encounter over the weekend. There's a restaurant, I guess, that gets frequented when we go up to Brantford that is a fine ass purveyor of poutine.
Oh yeah,
and it's this place called Lonnie's, which is right in downtown Brantford. They make, I don't even know how many, 30 different varieties of poutine, and
they're I think over 30.
Over 30, well, whatever the fuck the number is.
33.
Yep. All sorts of different sandwiches and wings and all sorts of shit, right? So we get there after we played some hockey on Friday night. We're all intending on getting poutine and other stuff to eat. We're all starving. And our friend Paul has to use the washroom. And he comes back 5 minutes later and he's kind of left. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, one of you has to go and check out the bathroom. It's like, okay, why? He's like, you just got to do it. So I'm like, Dylan's standing up. I'm sitting down. I'm like, hey, Dylan, take your camera. Go check out the bathroom.
And so Dylan, I did.
What did you see?
So I go downstairs and the steps are really steep already. And the bathroom in Lonnie's is located down in the basement where it looks like they just, like, use, you know, for a basement, you know, it's storage and everything. But it's a little sketchy. I mean, it kind of looks like a murder room down there. So, you know, maybe that, you know, that unidentifiable smoked meat where it doesn't say what it is. Maybe we can figure out where that meat comes from. But anyway,
you open the door and the room is probably, like, I don't know, maybe 3.5-4 feet. Wow, there's something else I just noticed about the bathroom that, now that I'm looking at the picture, probably about 3.5 by 4 feet. And I think the height of it was probably under 6 feet. Like, I walked in and I'm like, this is pretty small. You walk in and the toilet is raised up on a block. So it's like floor and then raised up probably about a foot and a half off the ground. That's what the toilet is on. And it's so small in there. And actually, I think it might have been shorter than 6 feet. I might have been like 5.5, 5'8" in there. Like, I walked in and I didn't have to use the bathroom, but just so I had an idea of it, I could not believe how cramped it was. Like, the toilet was up so high, it was high enough that I would have had to have stepped up onto the wooden block to take a piss in it. I couldn't piss into it from where I was standing on the floor. Naturally, you know, I go back upstairs and, you know, show the picture, and our friend Paul's just like, Mike, there's no way you could have fucking fit in there.
And that's kind of where we left it at that. We kind of all had a good laugh at it. But then Saturday night, our friends Laura and Brad happened to go to Lonnie's. And I was just looking for it. Laura posted on Facebook, scariest bathroom yet, and it's in the basement. And before I even saw, like, the pictures, I'm like, oh, shit, they went to Lonnie's. And sure shit, yeah. She pointed out one thing that you didn't point out is that they kept the soap in a ketchup bottle.
That's what I was just about to point out. I'm looking at this picture, and I see this ketchup bottle. I'm like, there's a ketchup bottle in there.
Yes, and I was just like, wow, that's priceless. I was like wow, that's amazing.
I don't think anybody's ever accused Lonnie's of being a top-notch establishment, but they sure as fuck make some good ass poutine.
Yes.
I gotta say though I had gravel gut the next day. Oh my god,
that's all right, but it's one of those local greasy spoons you can't pass up.
It's better than the Admiral,
you think?
Yeah, Admiral.
I think so. Admiral's a little dodgy. Dylan, maybe because of his stomach, had some issues hanging on to things over the weekend.
Yeah, I lost a lot of shit.
Figuratively and literally.
I mean, you lost money. You briefly lost your car keys. You lost beer.
I can't believe you lost the beer. Did you at least get yours, Mike?
Oh, yeah, I got mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I left it in Dave's room, and I don't know what happened to it after that.
If you left it there, somebody probably drank it that night.
Probably. I don't remember. I know I had one, and it was really good.
And they were like, oh, what the hell is this shit?
Oh, I can always get you more, dude.
Yeah, well, whatever. Another time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did lose a lot of stuff, unfortunately. Thought I lost my necklace, but I found it. However,
I'm glad you found that. You seem more concerned about losing that. Like, I mean, obviously your car keys were a major thing, but the necklace seemed to be a big thing for you too.
Yeah, well, that I just really like that necklace. Well, the car keys I got lucky with because I was like freaking out. I'm like, where could they be? And luckily, our friend Jim said, well, there was a pair of keys in the room, in the other room, because you know we're all kind of, you know, goofing around and shit. I guess my keys fell out of my pocket at some point, and luckily they were in there. And I walked in there, our poor friend Dave's like, passed out. Like, he's just waking up. I'm like, oh, that's my keys. Oh, here are my keys. He's like, and I'm like, nothing, I'll see you later.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was like the whole weekend was Dylan going, where's this? I can't find this.
Yeah.
I lost my artwork.
Oh, I lost that too. But luckily that was acquired.
Yeah, it was the common theme. We may have not had a theme song, but Dylan losing shit was the theme.
Yeah, it took you like 2 years to get that fucking artwork, too.
Yeah. It took me a long time, man.
A long ass time.
Now, I will say this, though. I didn't, for all that I lost, did not have a problem acquiring a certain item before the end of the weekend.
Butt plug?
No, I got one of those.
Your virginity back?
No.
Oh.
What? So, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Exactly.
So, for those that, you know, you guys didn't really go do this, but across the street was from the hotel was a bar restaurant called.
Oh, you even named it. There's 7 years of a statute of limitations. Our lawyers might not like this.
Yeah, we might need to cut it out
after we finished up recording our podcast Friday night. I moseyed on over there, met up with a bunch of our friends, Paul, and. As just aforementioned, Jim McCutcheon. So we're hanging out and having a beer. And they have these, like, you know when you go to a buffet, like in a hotel or something like that, and they serve the food in those big metal, like,
warmers?
Trays, and they have the covers that you, like, grab and pull? Like, mm-hmm. They pull over?
Mm-hmm.
You know how they make, like, round ones? They're, like, these big gold pod kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
So they were serving food, I don't know what, in, like, these small versions, like, probably about, I don't know, like, the size of, like, maybe, like, a, like the size of, like a an orange, a little bit bigger than that, and it was on a base, so it looked kind of like a Golden Globe Award. And, like, we're goofing around with it the whole night. It kind of looked like Pac-Man, so we were, like, picking it up and going, like, waka, 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 with it. And a friend of ours, Brad, his girlfriend really, really wanted one. Like, really wanted it. Like, we were, you know, coming up with ridiculous methods of getting it out of the restaurant. So finally we're wrapping up. We're paying our bill, blah, blah, paying our bills, tabs, yada, yada, to go back to the hotel. And our friend Jim had gotten a to-go bag because I guess he had, like, a dessert or something to go. And we're sitting there talking, and he taps me on the shoulder and says, all right, when she's not looking, dump it in the bag. I said, okay. So I put the bag, I grab the bag, I walk over to our friend Brad. I said, Brad, when she's not looking, dump it in the bag. She being the bartender. And Brad goes, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. So I said, okay. I turned to his girlfriend, Laura. I said, hey, Laura, when she's not looking, dump it in the bag. And she's like, ooh, okay. So I put the bag on a chair and I get it like right next to the bar, right beneath like where the bar drops off. And the bartender turns around, Laura just dumps the thing into the bag. And I grab the bag, I go, hey, Jim, don't forget your to-go bag, like at the top of my lungs.
Did you, like, walk away like you were walking away in the bar? Because it sounded like you got real quiet there for a second.
No, I was waiting for a reaction. I didn't know if you guys were going to say anything. So I just, like, grab the thing and, like, basically announce it, like, you know, take this, and I give it to him, and everyone's like, wow, that wasn't subtle at all, Dylan. And then we left, and we're walking across the street, and Jim's like, all right, can I take it out? Can I take it out? And waka, 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 I'm Pac-Man!
Dylan sounds like he was Dylan at that point.
Yeah, that's Dylan, totally Dylan being Dylan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, needless to say, Laura got her shiny golden ball food holder thing.
Nice. A little souvenir from our friends, the True North Strong and Free.
So I was like, I don't think I should ever go to that bar again if they saw it happen. Wound up going there the next night.
There you go.
And nobody said anything. So I think I'm okay for the time being until they listen to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, that bar and grill is going to be a huge supporter of Jim's BBQ podcast.
Well, here's my theory on the whole thing.
Did they already sponsor this episode?
No, this is what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to franchise out into Canada, and specifically Brantford. We're going to buy that restaurant, rebrand it into Jim's BBQ Pod, and then our attorneys will be contacting Dylan for two things.
Ooh.
One is the golden ball.
The what?
What are the two things that they're going to contact him about?
The Pac-Man thing.
Yes.
The golden ball.
Yeah, and the other one is him stealing fine ass.
I didn't steal anybody's fine ass. I simply borrowed your quote.
I know. I think it's quite humorous. I think it's swell. We all use the term. It's kind of like me stealing Mike's.
It's kind of like you stealing Sarge.
No, you said, "Hey Jim, start using this word as much as you can."
That's true. I did say that.
No, it's
You started kind of using and taking on the Will Smith. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say more like stealing the Mike's term of fresh from the grill for the website.
No, I'm kind of glad that you took that one over.
So,
but anyway, yeah, that was the thing that I did.
How do you feel after that, Dylan?
Kind of sarky?
A little sargy, but you know what? I kind of got away with it. And like ultimately, like, I don't know. Are they really going to miss it?
Do you have a picture of it?
There's a picture of it on the interwebs.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I do have a picture of it.
You might have to put that up on Jim's BBQ Pod Facebook
page.
Yeah,
I have a picture of Jim kind of playing with it. It literally looks like Pac-Man.
I wish we had a social media coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You can see the bartender behind his, like, in the background, too. Oh, man. And then there's some other shit that happened in Brantford, but we're not going to talk about that.
Which we might get into. Yeah, I mean, that was a great trip. One of the things I enjoyed was, of course, podding with you guys, doing the live pod in front of our huge audience.
Our live studio audience.
Our live studio audience.
One person that showed up late.
Yes.
Well, we all got our pod shirts. We all got our Chewy masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good time.
Yeah. I was surprised, not surprised about the Chewy mask. Because, I mean, you told me about Dylan's. And I was like, I bet he probably got one for both of us. Yeah. I know how you roll, Jim.
I know, but I think it's funny that Dylan was like, he goes, "Did you get Mike one?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got Mike one." He's like, "All right, cool." Didn't even ask, like, you know, did I get more than one or whatever. But he was concerned that you got one.
Right.
That was sweet.
That was sweet. Even though Dylan likes to pilfer stuff from restaurants, you know, he's got a good heart about him.
He does.
I was almost talked into doing it the next night, too, but I didn't do it.
Oh, boy. And that would have been worse just because of, how much of a Dylan you were at that point.
Well, I wasn't in Dylan mode yet, so.
So one of the things we discovered is how much you guys enjoy our next segment.
Oh, yeah. This has been a staple.
Yes.
We're going to have to find something else similar to this when we get through the list.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be the third week that we've done it.
Something else with, you know, equally ridiculous intro.
Right.
Yes, which you had me do four times.
I don't think it was that many.
No, it was. Because to break down the fourth wall, I finished editing that portion of the podcast, that live podcast tonight. And yeah, it was four times, which Dylan took video of the second and third time I did it. And then we derailed amazingly off of it. And then I did it a fourth time just to kind of reset it. And I kept all four of them in just for the fuck of it.
Oh, real quick, before we move into that, shout outs to Timmy Byzantine's kid. He's the most adorable human being on the planet.
Yes. I think if anybody was the MVP of the Walter Gretzky Street Hockey Tournament this year in the View Askew division, it was Wyatt Byzantine.
Yeah. Like, literally the cutest kid ever.
I'll agree with you. That kid was fucking amazing. It was just, he was so freaking cute. And it was great to see, Casey and Tim again. Hadn't seen them in a couple of years. So it was great that they came back and played hockey with us and visited with us and got to see Tim's son for the first time. So it was really cool to see them.
Yeah, he was rocking out at the restaurant too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, man, he's probably going to be tired after the long day. And nope, he was still going up to a point. And then I think he got a little tired.
Yeah, he was getting a little sargy.
Well, you can't blame him. I mean, no. What, 10 months old? And
I get that.
That was a long day for him.
I get that way, too.
Yeah, and you're 25 years old.
Years young.
You can take it as that, sure. All right, boys. So you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Oh, I know. I know you're ready. Insecurities with Dylan, Jim, and Mike.
God, this is the best. Seeing you do it.
I know you enjoyed that greatly. I know you were probably you had your eyes closed while I was doing that, just trying to envision me doing it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a picture of you. I have a picture right here. And it's just you, like, mouth agape, like, staring at me.
That's what I love doing when we do them live, is just to kind of stare at you, Dylan. Because I know it just creeps you out.
A little bit.
Oh, shit.
What?
I just realized I didn't wear my sloth shirt.
You didn't.
You didn't wear your sloth shirt.
And I brought it with me, too.
What a slarge.
I know.
That's a combination. Slarge.
That's pretty good.
Sloth and sarge. All right, guys, you ready?
Yep.
All right. We're up to question number 11. What do you like to do to relax? I know what I like to do to relax. You know what I'm saying?
What do I like to do to relax? Actually, I mean, is it like, I meditate.
Okay.
That gets me very, very relaxed. I meditate twice a day, once in the morning and once when I get home from work, generally speaking. And that gets me all, like, mellowed out and ready to, you know, gets me prepped for the workday, and then it takes me down from the workday.
Right on.
So that's what I like to do.
Jim?
I play video games.
Okay. I have a few different things.
Is masturbate furiously one of them?
Only when I'm looking at pictures of you, Dylan. but no, we kind of touched on one earlier this evening. I like to play Candy Crush.
Nice.
I'll actually do that while I'm eating my lunch, like at work. It just kind of just clears my mind, and you know, I just kind of focus on that, and everything else kind of just fades away for a little while, and it's kind of meditative in that way. The other thing that I found that is really relaxing, even though it's kind of strenuous at the same time, is yoga.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Because it's more so about the breathing than anything else. The breathing is relaxing.
Talking about DDP yoga, right?
Oh, but of course. Although I've kind of fallen off a little bit. I got to get back into it. But I found it very relaxing.
Oh, I have some friends that are, like, so into yoga right now. Like, one of them just became, like, a professional instructor. And, you know, they're so into it. Like, the zen and the relaxing and everything like that. So
it's kind of good. It's really helpful. I feel so much more relaxed after doing it.
Get yourself nice and limber.
That too. I gotta get back into it, especially after the weekend and how much pain I was having in my left knee. I gotta work on it a little bit. Still kind of stiff and sore.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Big bone licks, kind of stiff and sore, huh?
Exactly. So question number 12. What is the brand of your first bicycle?
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
I believe it was a Schwinn.
Schwinn! That's what I was going for. Mine was, I remember, it was a Huffy, BMX Huffy.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, it was blue and white, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, now that you say Huffy, I wonder if mine was a Huffy.
I'm surprised Dylan doesn't remember his first bike.
Like, considering it was
like... I remember it, I just don't remember... I just don't like remember the brand of it. Nah.
What type of bike was it?
It was a girl's bike.
No. I mean, was it like a BMX bike? Was it like a mountain bike? I mean,
I don't know. That's you're asking too much of me.
Wow. Was it a girl's bike with a banana seat?
No, I really don't remember.
Do you even know what a banana seat is?
I know what a banana seat is.
Okay, I didn't know if those were a thing. Like,
no, I know what a banana seat is. I just don't. I just have literally no. I don't. I couldn't tell you.
All right. Question 13. What is the longest you have ever gone without sleep?
I think close to 3 days.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Shit, I almost want to say the same just because of, like, some of the weekends we have, like, when we get together for, like, the hockey things, like, sometimes I don't sleep because of, like, the arrangements and I'm not used to it, or, like, somebody's snoring and I can't sleep.
Hmm.
Now, that was many, 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 many moons ago, though, too, Mike.
Yeah. Well, mine was a little more recent, and our podcast partner, Jim Dillon, was one of the root causes of my... well over 24 hours without sleep. I remember we were having one of our fun events up in Brantford, and we did what we've done the previous years, which is have a big huge beer share, and it went late on into the morning, and it got to, oh my god, I don't even know what it was, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and people were just still hanging out and drinking and having a good time, and I was getting really tired, and all of a sudden Dillon passes out in his bed and he's just snoring away, and there's like maybe 4 or 5 of us left, and I'm just like, I'm so freaking exhausted, and finally everybody leaves, and I try and fall asleep, and I can't because Dillon is just so fucking loud. And it kept me up. I ended up staying up because, I mean, it was Sunday morning. I ended up driving home. I don't even know how the fuck I made it home, being so exhausted as I was. And got home, and I think I went to bed at, like, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock, something like that, and slept all the way through until the next morning to, like, 6 a.m. Nice. I mean, it literally was, like, I had been up, like, I don't know, probably 24 plus 3, 10, 34 hours at that point when I finally made it to bed, at least 34 hours. That's probably the longest I've ever been without sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say probably close to 3 days, because, like, I remember one time in high school, like, after we graduated high school, I went down to Jersey City with my friend, and we went to, like, a 3-day music fest, and we stowed over at a friend's place in Jersey City, and I didn't really sleep because he was snoring and there were kittens in the room and they were, like, fucking around, like, underneath the bed, and we were sharing a bed because we had to.
What's with you and cats in your ass?
Dude, I don't know, dude. It's so weird. And, like, that was probably, like, a good 3 days with almost no sleep, so. Mm. But, yeah, I want to say, like, at least one of these events where, like, you know, it was, like, one of the hockey things, probably, like, got close to, you know, almost 3 days without any sleep.
I mean, this past weekend, I couldn't believe it. I slept, like, probably more than I sleep at home.
Dude, that first night, I slept great.
What?
Did you, like, I slept more than I sleep at home?
I really did. It was crazy.
We all got, like, together, and you're like, it's just so funny. When we were leaving the room, though, when you were like, yeah, I'm tired of going to bed, it was so funny because, like, we were walking out of the room or whatever, and it's just, you look over, you see you, and you just pull the covers over and roll to the other side of the bed.
Dude, the first night that I came back, like Friday night when you were there, I come back in the room, and I just see this giant, like, white lump, and I'm like, where's Mike? And I'm like, oh, that's Mike. And then I actually saw Mike, like, pull, like, the covers down from his head, and I just was like, I didn't even think I said anything. I might have just gone, like, eh. And I just, like, threw myself in the bed and went to, and passed out. But it was just so funny to see you just, like, this large thing in the bed.
What was funny was Sunday morning that I remember you coming in at whatever time you came in, which was...
Oh, like 4:30 in the morning, probably.
4 or 5 a.m., something like that. And then, yeah, so Sunday morning was bizarre because I remember you coming in. And you weren't loud, but I was like, oh man, he's he's feeling pretty good. And I was like, oh, he'll be out for a while. And then, like, I wake up, and you're gone. And I didn't wake up late. I woke up, I don't know, 8:30, 9 a.m. or so. And I get up, and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, I better clean up a little bit. So I do that. I'm like, I was actually looking for my room key, which was kind of amusing. I'm like looking all over the room for my room key. And then I happened to pat my pocket and realized the room key was in my pocket the whole time. Man, I'm going to go out and see if I can find them. So I go into the restaurant that's right down the hall from our room, and there you are sitting there. And I'm like, about 9 a.m. And I'm like, dude, how you doing, man? And you're like, oh, I'm feeling much better now.
Okay, because, like, and I woke up, I went to bed probably, like, 4:30, 5 o'clock, or whatever, and I don't think the alarm went off for my phone, but I woke up at, like, 7:30, and I just said, you know what, if I don't get up now, I'm never going to get up, and I made myself get up. I went to, you know, and I'm sitting there in the restaurant, and the waitress comes over, and she's like, orange juice today? Because I did, and I... You know, because she offered you, I said, no. She's like, coffee? I said, coffee, lots of water. Because I woke up, and I think I was still...
So you were speaking to her like in caveman.
Yeah, and I was just sitting there like on my iPad, and like I was just going through waves of like, I'm feeling really shitty. I'm not feeling so bad. I'm feeling really shitty. I'm not feeling so bad. And then eventually our friends Jeff and Amanda came in, and I joined them, and we were joined by some other people, and... Right. I ate breakfast but before I even got my food, like, I just, you know, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I just feel this, you know, this pressure on my shoulder, and I turn around, and there you are, and I'm like, oh, are you having breakfast with us? And you're like, no, I just want to know where the fuck you were.
In true Dylan fashion, guess what he had for breakfast, Jim?
Coffee?
No, he actually had food. He had these big ass sausages.
He loves the sausage.
He does like the sausage.
Guys, I had 4 cups of coffee that day.
I don't doubt it.
I usually drink 1 cup of coffee a day, and I still didn't do the entire drive home. I had to, like, it was about, you know, not including, you know, stops to get gas and the border and, you know, duty free. It's about 7-hour drive from where I live, and our friend, you know, a friend of ours had come up and from where he lives near Philadelphia and driven up with me. And I drove all the way up there on Thursday, and about, I don't know, we had about 3 hours left in the trip. It was about 5 o'clock. I just said, I can't, I'm going to fall asleep if I stay on the road. So we swapped up, you know, 4 cups of coffee couldn't even keep me going.
But to bring this all back around, this question about the longest you have ever gone without sleep, if we take this back to, like, it being a security question, you might have a hard time answering that question, like, if you forgot your password. Like,
dude, we were doing the security questions.
Like, what you put down as your amount of time or number of hours that you've gone without sleep.
Yeah, it would be tough.
It's a very difficult one to just think about. Like, I was thinking about it when I read it, and I went, I don't know how you would possibly remember, you know, specifically, like, if you put 34 hours or if you put 22 or what have you.
I would just put down, like, an easy number to remember, like 30 or 35 or 37.
Yeah, I was going to say I'd probably either use 37 or my hockey number.
Right. All right. Question number 14. What is the pet name you gave your first car? I know Liz has done this. And I know other women that have done this. I never have done this. I don't know if I'm in a minority, if I'm not that creative, or that it's just not something that guys do.
No, because I think I named my first car. I just can't remember what I named. I'm trying to remember what I named it.
Julio Cesar Chavez?
No, I'm drawing a blank on it, too.
I feel like you actually answered that. Floyd Money Mayweather?
Oh my god! What did I name my car? Because it was my dad's car that he gave to me. Oh man, I don't remember. I feel like I called it like something like briefly, and then I stopped calling it that just because I was like, I don't know. I couldn't focus on, fuck, what did I might have called it like the Black Beauty or like the Black Bullet or something like that.
Mm.
because it was a 2003 black Honda Civic.
There you go.
And I think I like ironically called it the Black Beauty because I didn't find it to be that attractive of a car.
Could have been like, you know, used like some alliteration and gone like it's Charlie the Civic, you know, or some C name, you know.
CC.
Yeah, CC the Civic. Yeah, there you go.
I should have called it like CC DeVille.
There you go.
Charlie the Civic DeVille. That's so stupid. What a weird person to name a car after, too.
Wouldn't that be more appropriate if it was like a Cadillac DeVille that you called it CC?
Yeah, it would have been way better if it was a Cadillac DeVille. Did you name your car, Jim?
Yeah, my first one was Slipstream.
Nice.
I name them all after Transformers.
Nice. And you didn't do it, Mike?
No. Is there a Transformer called Dented?
Wow.
Oh. Can we talk about that?
We did in the last podcast.
Oh, we did talk about it.
Yeah, it's already.
I thought that was a good callback.
It was. Yeah, way to bring it back up, Dylan. Like my wallet.
Didn't mention it on the podcast tonight, did I?
Whatever. No, oh, you're like, what? Can we talk about it? Drool your coming out of your mouth.
Your wallet that Dave has.
Yeah.
My $20 that Dave has.
That's funny.
The final question of insecurities for the evening. What is your favorite animal?
Favorite animal? That's easy. A crocodile.
Okay. Crocodile. You sure it's not an alligator?
No. Crocodiles are bigger and cooler.
Okay. Mine's a wolf.
Is it really?
Yep. You want to know why?
Why?
Well, Dylan will probably know this. I don't know if Mike will know. Do you remember the comic ElfQuest?
I remember there was like a video game or something, wasn't there?
I don't think there was ever a video game.
Am I thinking about something else?
I feel like there might. You're thinking of Dragon Quest.
Yeah, maybe he is. But yeah, ElfQuest was. My cousin read it, and it's actually been going on since the 70s and still continues now. Written and drawn by Wendy and Richard Penny. But my cousin was into them, and he was like 4 years older than me. So I was probably like 10, 11 years old when I started reading them. They were, you know. At that point, they were in graphic novels, like the first four sets, but it was mostly started out with the story about this tribe of elves called Wolf Riders, and that's why I like wolves, and dwarves. But second favorite animal is a penguin, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Pittsburgh Penguins, even though it does help.
I like dogs. I'm such a dog person.
Oh, dogs are a given. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but really I am. I like dogs. I don't know that there's other animals that I like as much as dogs. It helps to have a good one, you know?
Hey, Jim, it actually looks like ElfQuest is going to be ending.
Yeah, they're doing the final quest right now.
Yeah, I just saw that.
But they've been saying they've been ending it all the time, so who knows?
All right, boys. Well, that's the end of the insecurities portion of the podcast. Jim, did you get any feedback about insecurities as you listened to it on the way up to Brantford?
No, I didn't, but I hear somebody's trying to think of some questions.
Did they like the segment?
Seem to.
Okay, so it'll continue on. We got a few more weeks left of it. And then I got a whole nother set of questions that we can work through. They go down a different path, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay, sounds good.
And then maybe we'll come up with some other security questions in some way. Maybe I'll do some research. But that takes us to one of our other recurring segments. I know it's Jim's favorite.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Is it?
Did he get a
storm?
Sarge of the week.
I believe it is.
How about that?
What's the matter, Jim? Did you have to, like, sit up?
No, the bottle that I wanted to talk into was not close to me. Mike caught me off
guard. Oh, you broke down the fourth wall there.
I know.
I was wondering how you did that.
I think I would like to nominate the guy in Tim Horton's bathroom.
Ooh.
Just because that was pretty fucked up.
That was weird.
That was pretty strange. I don't know how Sarge-y that was.
The guy was a Sarge.
Okay. Ooh. Dylan?
I'll nominate myself.
You'll nominate yourself. Wow.
I second that nomination.
I mean, I didn't get to experience too much of the Sarginess of Dylan this weekend, but
I nominate myself for my Sarge behavior after I had.
Did I hear some stories?
I indulged a little bit too in too much grog, so to speak.
I think we've all been there, you know, and man.
But this was special.
Yeah, so fucking special.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, I nominate myself for my sloppy, sargy behavior.
I mean, I heard all sorts of stories coming out of this weekend, and
publicly apologize to Dave Mader. I'm sorry, brother.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if you want to get into them or not.
I really don't.
Okay, so we'll just leave it at that.
This wasn't really funny, like Dark Lord.
No,
this was just like unmitigated, completely uncalled for, violence.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I heard him, and I just looked at you and went, dude, really?
Yeah, a couple of our other friends were just, even as our friend, you know, Tim McCutcheon has been mentioned a lot on this podcast, probably because he himself was fucking hilarious the weekend, but even as he was relating the story, he was like, I couldn't believe he was doing some of the stuff he did.
Yeah. And if it's him saying, I can't believe someone did something.
Right.
No, it's got some...
it's got some sarginess to it.
It's got some sarginess to it. It's got a substantial amount of sarge to it.
Yeah, so...
I love how we can just kind of change the... what do they call that? Like, if it's a verb or a noun or...
Oh, like the tense of it?
Yeah. Like, we can just change anything and everything about the word to fit... You know,
like Smurf,
dude. It's, yeah. it's like the word fuck. It's just it's great.
I like Jim's analogy better. That it's like Smurf.
Oh, you know them little fuckers are saying fuck all the time. It just came out of Smurf.
Exactly.
Yep.
Little blue fuckers.
Hmm.
So, but yeah. So that's my Sarge of the week, me.
Yeah. I don't have any nominees for this week. I had a good week.
So who's, well, we'll leave it up to you then. Who's the winner?
Man, you always leave it up to me. Dylan, I'm sorry, but I gotta go with you, man. I mean,
it's okay, man.
If it's between you and the creepy dude in the Tim Hortons bathroom, sorry, I think you take the cake. I mean, I know more of the story than what we told here tonight, but fuck, man. Yeah, you definitely earned your stripes this evening.
Well, that's two of the three hosts of Jim's Barbecue now that are the Sarge of the Week.
Uh-oh. I'm on the clock, aren't I?
So, Mike, you got to do something where you got to be the Sarge of the Week.
Yeah, I got to be a little
different. It'll happen eventually. So. It might not be next week. It might not be the week after. But it'll happen.
I don't think Mike's as big a dick as we are.
I'm sure it will. And I'll go down on a blaze of glory, I think.
But knowing Mike, it's not going to be like he was outwardly a Sarge. It was going to be like Mike tripped over his own feet and like smashed into a table that had, you know, five bottles of Dark Lord variants on it or something like that. It would be something like out of his own control.
I was just more than happy that I was finally able to relinquish your bottles of Dark Lord.
And I put them in a kind of a stupid place too. You remember that? Like I put them.
Yeah, put them in the drawer in the hotel.
Yeah, I put them in the dresser at the hotel, and you're just like, dude, you're gonna forget those.
I really was fearing the worst when you put them in there. I'm like, some hotel cleaning woman is gonna find them and not know what she just found.
Hmm.
I would have just said Jim.
She'd probably open like one up and just go, oh. This is shit, and like toss the rest of them away.
So, well, all right,
it would have been lost forever.
Yeah, well, not now. They're all sitting in my basement. So. Yeah,
I mean, I was fearing the worst. Really, I was fearing like the transport back from Chicago to my house, you know, that they were gonna break in transport, or when I carried them into my house, they were gonna break, or when I carried them back out from my house back into the van, they were gonna break. Something was going to happen to those fucking bottles, or the time in between when I got home from Dark Lord to going up to Canada, you know, one of the animals was gonna knock them off the dining room table, or whatever. You know, something was going to happen to those bottles, and I was just fearing it.
Well, none of that happened.
Yeah, I'm thankful it didn't. Otherwise, I would have been a Sarge. I would have nominated myself, and it would have been no question.
But you didn't. Instead, Dylan acted the fool, and now he's the Sarge of the Week.
Congratulations, Dylan.
You know what? I'll take it.
Is that the first? Is that your first Sarge of the Week, or you've been multiple times, haven't you?
I nominated myself for Dark Lord Day, but you were kind enough to say that I didn't deserve it.
I mean, when we get the year end totals, I mean, you might end up running away with Sarge of the Year.
Maybe. We can only hope Chris Seymour does more dumb shit. By the way, Chris Seymour, go fuck yourself. Twice, because I forgot to say it live.
Oh. Nice.
I didn't even see Chris Seymour. I thought he was supposed to be on the podcast up in Brantford.
Actually, we could probably nominate Chris Seymour for legitimate Sarge of the Week because he left after the game Saturday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
His brother was there.
I know. Me and Tim made fun of him for a while for leaving.
Chris, what happened? You were booked. You were booked for the Saturday Night Live podcast.
He was, but he didn't care, I guess.
Twitter follow. So mine's actually a little bit more than a Twitter follow. We'll start with the Twitter. I'm going to suggest you follow at artistjim.com. That's D-O-T. That's our buddy Jim McCutcheon, who we've mentioned a couple times on the podcast this evening. And he's got a website, www.artistjim.com. You can check out his artwork and what he does. You can buy his stuff. You can commission him, I believe. Contact him there. He's on Instagram, artistjim, at artistjim. Good dude. Does really nice stuff. I got a print from him recently of his painting, which is a spin on Nighthawks by Hopper. He did one called Night Clerks. So I got a print of that from him, finally. Good dude, funny dude, does good stuff. He's a friend of the website and a friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I need to get that up on there, too.
So, there you go.
He makes some fine-ass artwork.
And he makes some funny comments over the weekend.
Indeed. Yes, that he did.
Don't forget, man, you can check out his shit online. But you can also check out our shit online at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can read some tweets about our shit on Twitter at JimsBBQPod. And you can see some pictures of our shit on Instagram at JimsBBQPod.
You can email
our shit. Just to clarify, when Dylan says JimsBBQPod, he means JimsBBQPod.
That's what I mean, JimsBBQ. Sorry.
Yeah, it's only been 6th October, dude. You'll get it right one day.
I know. You'll get it right one day. Yeah.
Memorial Day's coming.
I know. Just like when I actually do my job for the website, too.
Labor Day. I forget what I was doing. Oh,
if you said what?
If you want to email our shit. If you want to email our shit, you can email us at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to our shit straight fresh from the grill, you can go to www.jimsbbqpod.com/episodes.
If you want to subscribe to our shit, you can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
If you want to, what did you say? If you want to email us our shit?
No, I said if you want to email our shit, or if you want to, I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
Something like that.
It just sounds gross.
Nice. I think Mike's a little tired.
What?
I don't know. You see, it sounds like we're all kind of puttering out.
Are you ready to record episode 25?
Let's do it.
Whoa! Next week is a landmark episode.
Wow, should we put together like a compilation of the previous 24 episodes? Nah.
Yeah, it's a milestone, but
I would end up having to do that, and I don't want to do that.
Thanks for visiting Jim's Barbecue, where we jerk our chicken for you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one, peeps.
So I go downstairs, and first of all, the steps were pretty steep.
What the fuck was that?
Oh my god.
Dude, really? Wow.
The what was that was awesome. What was that?
I see one thing hasn't ended from the weekend.
Dude, that was a squeak.
It was, too. But it all depends on the size of the gat. Taking out of police will make my day, because, never mind.
Well, thanks.
I was straight out of Compton, which I seen with you. You should know that.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, this beer was a little strong, so